2017 ACUC in wonderful Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're actually a little live action as well with Mr. Jim Nussel. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. We got a few little items here on the docket. ACUC opening remarks. Kind of the theme there for you was get on the field. Get out there and play ball. You know, it's don't sit on the sidelines.
We have a lot of credit union fans, and fans are great. I mean, I tried to explain. I'm a Cubs fan, you know. I mean, so we had a great year, but I didn't contribute, right? I sat in the stands. Maybe I bought a hot dog and a beer and a T-shirt, but I didn't get on the field and make any hits, didn't make any home runs. I didn't even carry the bats, you know. And so what we need in credit union land, if we're going to be successful in the future, is we need people who are willing to get in on the field and be players and get the hits, make the defensive stops, and contribute. And we already have so many. Many of them showed up this week. And so we know we've got a good team, but we need to build that team to be successful in the future.
Yeah, I had Ryan Donovan in here yesterday, and he said something that really resonated with me. Is like, if we can get 110 million members to be advocates, I mean, that's power in numbers right there. It's a pretty powerful thing.
Yeah, and just to put it in perspective, you know, just in advocacy as an example, when people ask you about some of the most successful advocacy organizations, they'll invariably say, well, you know, the AARP is always strong, or the NRA as an example. Yeah. The NRA only, still strong, but realize they only have 3.5 million people. That's it. 3.5 million members that when their voice is raised, they can rock the Capitol. Or the AARP right now is wreaking havoc, for instance, on the healthcare bill that's moving through. Right, doesn't matter where you are. And I'm just saying their advocacy voice is so strong at 30 million that they can move mountains. Well, we have 110 million to draw from, and even if we could get a few million, we'd be doing well. So we just signed our 500th credit union in the Member Activation and Education Program.
MAP.
Right. So the MAP program is communicating with now over 20 million members, credit union members, through CUNA messaging, but through the credit union. Not Jim, I don't communicate with them. They don't know who I am and they don't care. But they do care about their credit union. They do trust their credit union. And when their credit union says an issue like cybersecurity is important or an issue like the taxation issue is important, they respond, they listen, and they engage. And that's when we're in the same realm as AARP and NRA.
Exactly. I remember seeing Molly Bell. She was at the CU Water Cooler. Actually, no, it was at the CSCU conference a few months back in Orlando, and she gave that, she had those stats of the NRA and the AARP and all that type of stuff, and how their size compared to our size, why aren't we making a bigger impact?
Well, because, you know, I realize, and people will say to you, now we're not the NRA, and we don't have one issue that is so singularly focused that you can...
Oh, it's polarizing.
Yeah. And I'm not suggesting we're going to get even 3 million people that are going to, you know, hell no, don't take away my credit union.
Right.
But maybe we could get more engaged than we are now. And that's really what we're trying to do. This is not a destination. We're never going to get there and say, we're finally where we want to be. This is a journey. And the more we can take on that journey, the more we can get out of the stands of just being a fan of credit unions and actually a player for credit unions, that's when we're really cooking with gas.
Well, that kind of segues my next question, is the credit union perception today. You talked about that at a couple of recent conferences. Can you expand on that a little bit,
for folks who may not be well aware? I don't want anyone to think I am as optimistic about the future of credit unions as anybody. Yeah. In fact, I am so optimistic, I'm on offense. I want credit unions to be on offense. I don't want us to be disrupted. I want us to be the disruptor.
Exactly.
Well, but here's the difference. Right now, you go to any conference around the country in just about any industry, and all they talk about, we're being disrupted, we're being disrupted, and it's defense. I'm not talking about it. At our conference this week, we're talking about how we can be the disruptor, and we can. We're the original disruptor from 1934 to banks. We can be there again. If you look at what, for instance, millennials are talking about right now when it comes to financial services, it's something wild and new. It's crazy. It's called peer-to-peer lending. Oh my gosh, this is just revolutionary. You mean people actually contribute money to each other and they share and they sounds like a cooperative, sounds like something credit unions have been doing for 100 years.
Very familiar.
So, I mean, we are already in the marketplace doing things that are exciting all new generations that have never even heard of what a credit union is. we've got to connect those two things. And if we can connect what we do, which is so magical, with people who don't even know what a credit union is, that's when we're the disruptor. And that's, so I am completely bullish on the future of credit unions, but if we have to take action. Otherwise, could we be disrupted like Sears Roebuck or Kodak?
Anybody can be disrupted.
Of course. So it's not that I'm worried about it and I don't have a plan. We've got a very dynamic plan. But we want to be the disruptors, not be disrupted.
Right. I think if you're aware of it and you're addressing it, I think that's a very good thing.
Yeah, but
you know, you have to be.
You know that there are people, I say respectfully, in our industry, in our movement, who just, don't rock my boat, right? I've been doing it this way forever. I don't want to change. I don't want to do anything. I'm sorry. The world is changing whether you like it or not. You may not like it. It may not be comfortable. And what my board has told me, what credit union people around here are telling me, is keep pushing us. Yeah. Keep challenging us, because we need that right now. Even though it's uncomfortable, even though people don't always like to hear it, we've got to keep pushing.
Yep. Can't be complacent.
No.
For sure, for sure. Financial Choice Act status. What's going on there? What's the latest?
I wish I had better news there. I mean, it passed the House, both in committee and on the floor. It's now in the Senate. The Senate is just dysfunctional, as all get out. I mean, you can see that this week. Republicans don't even agree on their own agenda, let alone, be able to reach across the aisle, which we will need in order to move a bill like the Financial Choice Act. Now, we're working with both of the main players in this. Our Sherrod Brown from Ohio is the Democrat, and Mike Crapo, the Republican chairman from Idaho, are working together, and they're talking, and they're trying to figure out, is there a way that they can move something on regulatory relief, particularly for small financial services.
No doubt.
Like credit unions and small community banks. We're right now, I think, doing the best at communicating our message to them. The question is whether they can grow enough of a vote in a bipartisan way in a very challenging, very partisan, poisonous environment to get something done. And I think that's where, if you get more people involved as voters, they can explain that, what it means to them as a credit union member. So we got to make that connection. But so I'm optimistic because I've seen the process work as a former congressman and all that. But I tell you right now, the poisonous environment in the Senate makes it very difficult.
Is there a timeline that we can expect, or is it still kind of out there,
well,
bouncing around?
The timeline that we will hear is sometime this fall.
Okay.
Well, earlier this year we heard sometime this summer. So, I mean, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to keep pushing this if it takes all year, if it takes all next year, if it takes the next 5 years. This is just too important. It's the number one pain point for credit unions is the regulatory burden. And frankly, it's the reason I think why many of them are starting to have not only the challenge just surviving, but why many of them are deciding we got to merge with somebody else. We can't attract the talent. We can't attract the leadership. We don't have the capital. We can't pay for the cost of this. And I think the bigger institutions, the bigger banks in particular, they can afford it. They can hire the lawyers.
Exactly.
We can't.
It's stifling.
We need to either be exempted or need to get this bill through. But so, at any rate, that's kind of a quick, that's not the quick update. I wish it was as quick as saying next week.
I wish. Don't we all?
But, so we've got more work to do.
Okay. All right. CFPB changes. You guys are on board saying that, hey, five-person committee. What is the likelihood of that happening?
Well, we're looking to put it in this bill we're talking about.
Okay.
And we have a couple of different ways we could do it. The Senate version of a Choice Act could be one. Could we do it through the spending bill process, what we call the appropriations process or the budget process? That's another. We may look at the court system, frankly. We may look at the court, because there's already a lawsuit out there that that held that it's an unconstitutional process, that this one-person, unaccountable, dictatorship sort of process for the CFPB is unconstitutional. So we've got some ways we could do this.
Okay.
We also may and already have been talking to the Trump administration and the Treasury Department about the CFPB. They may take some action, depending on what they feel is within their purview or legal ability. So there are a couple of ways we can go at this, maybe not through the front door, maybe through the window or the basement, but we're going to keep pushing.
Okay, good. You guys are doing a good job of that. I'm going to wrap up here with a high note here. of all that's happened this year in the credit union industry, we're already halfway through. My gosh, it's blown by in a blink of an eye. What's your outlook on the rest of 2017? Because we're still, lending is still off the charts.
Oh, yeah.
Growth is still happening. What's
As you know, when I came in, I said growing is winning. That's the goal. Let's keep growing. And you're right. Deposits are up. Memberships are up. Loan growth, mortgages, auto loans.
Yeah.
We're growing. We're growing, and that's good. And we're doing things through the NCUA. We're doing things through Congress. We're doing things through the court system to protect members and to advance the credit unions. And I think as a result, that growth can continue to be there. I just want to make sure while we're doing that, we also create better awareness about credit unions so that we can bring even more members and more consumers into our front doors, and that we're doing everything we can to look around the corner and say, for instance, with CU Ledger, as we've talked about before, what new technology, what new solutions are out there that we at the Credit Union National Association can help build some collaboration around, maybe some funding, certainly a lot of good expertise and technology in order to see around the corner and put us in a disruption kind of format so we can be disrupting somebody else.
I think that's a great message to end on. Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah,
well done. Well
conference.
Done. I am indeed. I am indeed. Thanks for all the hard work you guys do
thank
as well.
You
guys have a great team there.
Thank you.
Keep up.